It's a real live in-person ag event. This is Hoosier Ag Today in the morning podcast on the 10th of June, 2021. I'm Andy Eubank, and World Pork Expo is underway in Iowa. We'll hear from Indiana's Josh Trinneri from World Pork Expo. Also, the benefits of fungicides in corn. In the markets yesterday, corn up, soybeans down, USDA supply and demand estimates today. Tom Fritz has market comments. And Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin does have some rain in today's weather. The news begins right now here on HAT.
World Pork Expo is back and corn fungicide benefits. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by CountryMark and its member cooperatives, your best source for quality biodiesel and ethanol-blended fuels. For the first time since 2018, pork producers from across the country are convening this week in Des Moines, Iowa, for the World Pork Expo. The event was canceled in 2019 out of an abundance of caution as African swine fever spread throughout China and other parts of Asia. The 2020 event was canceled due to COVID-19. Indiana Pork Executive Director Josh Trinneri is on hand for this year's World Pork Expo, and he says it's good to be back.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited to be here. It's good to see people in the wild instead of in front of a screen. All the Pork Expo, you know, volunteers and staff seem to be pretty happy to be here. I know the NPPC folks were really looking forward to getting back to a live, you know, in-person event. You know, a lot of careful consideration went into us.
The National Pork Producers Council discussed top legislative priorities at the expo, the first of which is a recent court decision striking down faster harvest facility line speeds. Trinneri says that will hit pork producers, especially Indiana pork producers, hard.
While something that might impact up to 2.5% of the nation's production or processing capacity is important to all producers, you know, it definitely hits Indiana hard with, you know, having several producers in the state that are utilizing one of the plants that were using those increased speeds for their processing. So we're definitely going to have some farmers in Indiana disproportionately impacted by that.
You can read more about the line speed issue and the impact it will have for Indiana pork producers at HoosierAgToday.com. The time is nearing for a critical decision on this year's corn crop. Andy Eubank has more.
The corn crop is in the ground, coming up nicely in many parts of Indiana. And now comes the monitoring of the crop. One expert says start scouting for disease early to keep fields free of stress throughout the season. He's Chad Threewitz, an agronomy service representative with Syngenta.
Really watching and listening to what's going on in other areas. Because a lot of these diseases either blow in or progress from other areas. So I think it's important to, you know, not wait till it's too late, but really just keep an eye on the crops that are in our fields, but also listen to what else is going on around us to where we may have issues starting to come into our neighborhood.
He says R1 or tassel timing has been found to be a key application point to prevent yield loss.
There's opportunities where we can go earlier a little bit in the season, and that works too, especially with products that now have longer residual. Product like Trivapro fungicide or Miravis Neo fungicide, both those products, they work longer in the plant, more residual. So it really widens that window of disease control and helps us really protect that plant season long.
Threewitz tells HAT the benefits of a good fungicide like Trivapro go beyond disease control and include stress reduction for the corn plant, including stress of drought-like conditions.
It can help improve water use efficiency in the plant, keeping that plant from shutting down completely when it gets dry. We can, and that in turn will give us quicker canopy to closure and keep the bottom part of the plant shaded. So really helping help reduce that transpiration. And then later in the season, prolong that grain fill period, right? So the longer we can keep the plant working without shutting down or we would say dying down early because of disease or environmental stresses, that's going to really benefit us.
He adds, whether it's early or late applications, Trivapro is helping provide stronger stocks, too, a major benefit come fall harvest. I'm Andy Eubank.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct, the largest Ohio-based independent seed company and the Eastern Corn Belt's fastest-growing independent seed company. Visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com for more information. As we take a look at the data and the analysis here, we are seeing moisture slowly but surely sag farther south. I'm going to keep scattered showers in the forecast for today over Indiana. I will tell you that I think anything bigger than a quarter of an inch in terms of moisture stays south of I-70. We can't rule out some spits and sprinkles or even an odd shower farther north, but we just see a bias more to the south here today. I think we end up partly to mostly sunny in most areas tomorrow. The biggest place we see clouds linger will be down near the Ohio River, particularly in southeast Indiana. Saturday is going to be partly sunny, but we do have to keep an eye out for hit and miss scattered showers and thunderstorms developing late Saturday afternoon and Saturday evening, mostly northern and northwestern Indiana, but I don't want to rule them out anywhere for sure right yet. Sunday is partly sunny and maybe a little bit cooler by mid to late afternoon. Then as we go through next week, Monday through Friday, plenty of sunshine, warm, dry all the way through. I do think temperatures might pull back just a little bit at midweek. I'm particularly earmarking Wednesday to see temperatures maybe closer to normal. And then from there, we're back well above normal to finish things out. The heat and dryness continues through next weekend and could even hold through the first part of the following week. It really looks like the start of that 11 to 16 day forecast window is dry and warm. So basically, the moisture that we've seen or will see in the next few hours is going to be what has to run with us now all the way through most of next week, outside of a few hit-and-miss actions here and there. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I've got nothing else new, exciting, and different for you. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Mixed in the grain markets, this is Hoosier Ag Today's Wednesday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank, and the review is brought to you by Co-Alliance Cooperative, your local agriculture and energy partner for nearly a century. On the Hat Farm Market Review, Tom Fritz joined me at the end of Wednesday trade. Tom with EFG Group in Chicago. Tom, up and down in the markets and a comeback to a higher close for corn. And it was not a higher soybean close, but certainly a comeback off of the lows and pretty significantly in the case of the November contract. But We've got weather. We've got positioning going on. What was driving the markets primarily on Wednesday?
Let's start with Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning. I think the trade got caught up looking at the rains that were moving across the Dakotas and thinking, oh, this is a trend breaker. Well, it's not. I talked to a guy in South Dakota as well as in North Dakota. The rains, some areas, big-time rains. Other areas just totally missed out. But, the attitude is that, where modest rainfall occurred, the ongoing hot temperatures and how they described a howling wind kept the effects of most of that rainfall minimal. So I think in that case, that allows the corn market to come back. It allows the soybean market to try to come back, even allows the wheat market to come back. But corn, it's all about weather. The Dakotas, rain in the Dakotas overnight, dominated the early trade, but can't help but notice nothing's getting down into Iowa. And, that's your number one corn growing state. And the forecast for Iowa continues to be warm and dry. So I think, after we beat it up early, people started looking at the forecast. Then they started looking at, we've got a USDA supply demand report tomorrow and they're expecting bullish numbers. So, I think that exhausted the selling and that allowed the market to come marching right back. In the case of wheat, it follows the Minneapolis market to a certain extent, but the Kansas City market actually finished higher on the day, as Kansas City is tied to the corn market as a alternative feed grain. It's hard to ignore that July KC wheat trades 55, 60 cents under the July corn contract, and now you've got the September Kansas City wheat contract getting close to even money with September corn. So, that's giving the Kansas City market some left-handed support, despite the idea that nobody knows what the wheat report is going to say tomorrow. It's a winter wheat production update. We know the Southern Plains have an excellent crop. We know the northern plains where they grow winter wheat and off into the Pacific Northwest that those crops have been literally hammered. So, you know, will the USDA, you know, try to put the two together and, you know, come up with a wheat number that's, you know, call it accurate? Will they try to do a little bit of forward guessing on spring wheat production number? You know, we're not scheduled to see a spring wheat production number until July. So, but, you know, we also think going forward that acres could be down on spring wheat on June 30th, whatever the last day of June is. So, you know, that gives some indirect support to the wheat market. Soybeans, you know, it's a major struggle. The index fund roll continues to weigh on the July bean contract. We've got some pretty slack-looking demand. Cash markets are nothing short of sloppy. And, you know, so it keeps the bean complex, as I'd like to say, down on the farm. Meal basis is nothing short of horrendous. And soybean oil is caught between a strong domestic market and a weak global market. And I'll ask the question, and excuse me for not knowing, has the U.S. ever imported soybean oil? Just, you know, food for thought. But bottom line, you know, we're in the midst of a weather market. Latest forecasts continue to show a warm and dry bias out there for the Western Corn Belt. The rains that we saw in the Dakotas, they're expected to be gone by the end of this week. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, the impact, the beneficial impact is minimal due to continuing hot temps and big-time winds in that area. The wheat report tomorrow, it's anybody's guess. Soybean report tomorrow is expected to show minimal changes. Old crop carryout might come up a couple million bushels due to a decline in the crush. And, you know, whatever you see there in that carryout number, that'll be your carry-in for new crop. And I don't see the USDA adjusting any demand numbers in the new crop soybeans. Whereas in corn, you know, it was just a few weeks ago we saw this big-time Chinese demand. We also have seen the ethanol market come surging back. So you could see some upward revisions in demand for new crop corn. So bottom line, everybody's expecting a bullish corn report tomorrow. Nobody knows about wheat and the soybean report. Ho-hum.
Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. Settlements now from Wednesday, July corn, 690 and three quarters, a dime and three quarters up. And Dees ended at 609 and three quarters up, but just a quarter of a cent. July soybeans, 1562 and a half, 17 and a half lower. Novi, 1448 and a quarter, and down 8 3/4. July wheat in Chicago, 682 and a quarter, 2 3/4 lower. Mixed in livestock, August live cattle, 118.27, up 45. July lean hogs, 121.50, down 30. I'm Andy Eubank, Hoosier Ag Today, with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.